الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم. يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم. روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم. يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها، قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Before starting our talk proper, as per the command of our Honorable Sheikh Arif Billah, the Rumi of our time, the Mujaddid of this era, the second Tabriz, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab, Rahimahullah, says that before every bayan, make muzakara, discuss one sunnah of Hazrat Nabiya Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in fact, before that, one other point by way of introduction, that don't be carried away what Mufti Ali Largat Sahib said. That was his opinion, his muhabbat, and his duas for me. And that was his good quality. A person, when he's good himself, he'll see the good in others. And when a person is bad in himself, he sees the bad in others. So this is his goodness that he hopes, and he makes duas that Allah must make me like that. May Allah make us all righteous in His eyes. And may we get the praises and the appreciation and acceptance from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. If the whole world praises you, but Allah is unhappy with you, what is the use of it? And if nobody praises you, nobody recognizes you, but Allah is pleased with you, it is everything. So may Allah grant us that reality. However, with regard to sunnats, to illustrate from one aspect the great value and importance of sunnats, Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, says that every person, every Muslim who likes in his heart, Islam must come alive in the world. In the whole world there must be Islam. Islam must spread in the whole world. Every Muslim likes it. And he says it is so easy if we are sincere that we really want Islam to spread. So he says, like we want Islam to spread in our country. Our whole country, everyone must follow deen, must be obedient to the commandments of Allah Ta'ala. So he says, like a country has got many provinces, many states. Like that, you yourself, you also one country. And there are many provinces and states in you. The province of the brains, of the eyes, the ears, nose, tongue, your heart, your hands, your legs. These are all different provinces. And you are the lifelong president. You're not up for ruling for 5 years, 4 years, and then elections, another president comes. No, you are the president of your country, this country, lifelong. And you don't have to fight for elections in order to become the president. You are, as long as you live, you the president. And in this country of yours and in your parliament, you got no opposition also. You can do what you want to, no opposition. So when you are sincere and you want Islam to come in the whole world, so bring Islam in the province of the eyes. Look how Allah wants you to look. Bring Islam in the province of your brains. Think how Allah wants you to think. Bring Islam in the province of your tongue. Speak, address people as Allah wants you to do. Don't swear, don't be vulgar, don't accuse, etc. Use your tongue correctly. Your hands, legs, all these provinces, and you the president, and you want Islam, so bring Islam in your country. If every person does this, Islam is in the whole world. Without a big, accumulating lot of money, collecting and having a big budget and funds, without having big computers and offices and blocks of flats, office blocks, etc., without any army or anything, everyone wants Islam, every Muslim. And as there are about 2 billion Muslims in the world, this is more than sufficient for Islam to come in the whole world. About 7 billion people in the world, Muslims are about 30-40% Muslims are. So every Muslim wants also Islam to come, so just bring Islam in yourself. So if we bring every aspect of deen in our lives, Islam will spread in the whole world without any effort whatsoever. May Allah bless us with this reality. One sunnah and a few sunnahs with regard to this is with regard to witr namaz. After we finish our Isha, 4 for us, we read our 2 sunnats, we read 2 nafils also, then we read 3 witr. So, and this witr namaz is a wajib namaz. And wajib means compulsory only. Technically, this is the work of the fuqaha and the ulama. It's not our work. For us, it's a compulsory namaz. We have to read it. Only the method of proving it, there is certain points there that makes it wajib and not faraz, etc. And there are only 5 faraz namaz in the day. Witr is a 6th namaz. It's not a faraz namaz. It is a wajib namaz. So the best time to read witr, for that person who is sure that he will get up at tahajjud time, witr should be made that time. We shouldn't make it after Isha. This is the awwal waqt of witr. We can make it after Isha, no problem, it is made. And in Ramzan Sharif, we make it with Jamaat. After Taraweeh, and whoever is there, Shaykhul Tafsir, Shaykhul Hadith, Mufti Saab, Mufti Azam, all of us make it with Jamaat, because the time of witr has come in. But the afzal, the best time for witr is the last 6th of the night, the tahajjud period. That is the best period to make. Further with regard to witr namaz, it is sunnah that we should try and read, at least occasionally we should try and read Surat Sabbih Isma, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ and قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. In the 3 rakats, we should try and read these surahs. And occasionally we should do it. Always don't rush and just finish. Try and read these surahs. Alternatively, also it is sunnah to read Surah Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ in 1 rakat. Next rakat, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and in the last rakat, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. This is also sunnah. This is also easy and it's not long also. So try and read this and read it with the niyat of sunnah. We will get that sawab also. Also with regard to the timing of witr, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always made the last namaz of his night, witr namaz. So if we're reading tahajjud, at night we get up, make your tahajjud first and the last read your witr. And if you're making your tahajjud before going to bed after Isha, it's permissible. There is the awwal waqt. Tahajjud time starts already. Make your tahajjud first, 2 rakats, 4 rakats, how many you want to make. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam normally made 8 rakats of tahajjud namaz. So even 2 rakats, your tahajjud will be done. The sawab will be less, but you will be in the category of those who make tahajjud. Then after that, make your witr, you'll get the sawab of that sunnat also. Also after witr, which is also, when we were young boys, I remember it was very common, we would hear the elderly, old people would read this, but today hardly you hear it. After witr namaz, you should read Subhan al-Malik al-Quddus, Subhan al-Malik al-Quddus, Subhan al-Malik al-Quddus, 3 times. The first time a little softer, a little louder, and then a little bit more louder. And pull it the last time, Subhan al-Malik al-Quddus. Moses, anyone to add Rabbuna wa Rabbul Malaikati wa Ruh. So this is also one sunnah to read, which generally is left out. We hardly hear anyone reading it. We should try and make practice upon these sunnahs also. Allah give us tawfiq inshallah. The ayats of the Quran Sharif I've recited, of the surah, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا, the whole surah in the middle. And this is an excellent, like the whole Quran Sharif, excellent piece of literature. Quran, there can be no literature that is superior. There are many people, and those who study literature will know there is great enjoyment in literature. And the real enjoyment of literature is not the language, is the philosophy. And to understand the philosophy of the writer in his literature, this is something that overwhelms a person. And the philosophy of Allah Ta'ala, the subject matter of Allah Ta'ala, Allah wafauka kulli dhi ilmin alim, the greatest knowledgeable Allah Ta'ala. There is nothing like that. No literature in English language, in Arabic language, in any language, there is no literature like the literature of the Quran Sharif. And this is a perfect example of how beautiful, as we will try to explain, and you'll see that how Allah has presented this whole subject and this whole essay. And then again, when this is recited in Quran Sharif, and especially when the Qari reads with the Arabic lehja and with proper tajweed, like in Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, it really swipes you off your feet. Your legs buckle, your mind just becomes overwhelmed by what beautiful Quran Sharif Allah Ta'ala has given. In the surah, ulama have written that Allah Ta'ala has taken not one, up to 15 qasams, the greatest amount of oaths. And oath, I swear under oath, that is a great thing. And Allah is swearing under oath. What is the need for Allah Ta'ala to take even one qasam? Allah Ta'ala, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُوا مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُوا مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا, who can say a truer word? Allah is حَقُّ الْمُبِينَ, Allah is that being who makes the truth manifest and clear to people. Allah is the absolute truth. He is the truth. Al-Haqq, He is Al-Haqq. And Al-Mubin, He makes the Haqq known. So Allah takes qasam. Not that there is a doubt in the words of Allah, but to convince us, to understand this quite easily, a mother advising her daughter, a father advising his son, that don't mix with those people, they are druggies, etc., or don't do other wrong things, and they say, I take qasam, I'm telling you, and even from my experience, I'm telling you, and I take qasam, and I'm telling you, please, I know, you are still a young boy, I've gone through life already, I know what is good for you. Please listen to me. And he takes qasam. Like that, Allah has got more affection, more concern for our welfare than all the mothers of the world put together, than all the fathers of the world put together. Therefore, Allah is taking qasam and giving us a message that please listen to me. Allah is not in need of us. If the whole entire creation, the malaika, the anbiya, nobody makes Allah's ibadat, it won't harm the grandeur and honor of Allah one little bit also. And if everyone makes Allah's ibadat, even if shaitan starts making the ibadat of Allah sincerely, it won't increase Allah's honor and greatness one bit. Allah is as He is. And He's not in need of our ibadat to make Him great. He's not in need that we sanctify and purify Him with Subhanallah and we purify Him. No. When we say Subhanallah, na'uz billah, we are not purifying Allah. Who can purify? Allah is pure Himself. We are expressing the purity of Allah, that Allah is pure, Allah is clean, Allah is absolute. So Allah doesn't need to take qasam. And then consider up to 15 qasams. Ulama have counted in the surah that Allah has taken. So what an important subject it must be, which Allah wants to tell us, for which Allah is taking 15 qasams. And then again, what a striking manner of taking these qasams. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا, the qasam of the sun, and the qasam of the moon, of the day and the night, the skies and the earth. What great contrasting things. The day and the night, the sun and the moon, the skies and the earth, What great contrasting things. And Allah explains certain qualities of that. I won't go into that detail. It will take quite a bit of time. But just imagine that Allah has taken these great, great qasams. And in pairs, the sun and the moon, the day and the night, the skies and the earth, six qasams, and in them other qasams also. And about these contrasting things, then Allah Ta'ala takes another qasam, and yet there isn't a pair of it. It is on its own. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. This qasam Allah Ta'ala takes, and nafs is this human being, this human body. That Allah takes qasam of this human body. And وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. وَاوْ وَاوْ also وَاوْ قَسْمِيَا again. And how balanced and perfect Allah made this human. This human being, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We created man in the most beautiful forms. How beautiful and balanced Allah has made this human being. We look at ourselves many times in the mirror, but seldom perhaps we take notice of this great qudrat of Allah which is in us. We perhaps, some of us might be reading sometimes the dua, اللَّهُمَّ أَحْسَنْتَ خَلْقِي فَأَحْسِنْ خُلُقِي. Dua everyone knows. But ask us whether we read it. And even if we read it, did we ever think of the meaning, Allahumma ahsanta khalqi. You have created me so beautiful, so perfect. Just to give you an idea of how beautiful Allah has created man. By man I mean man and woman. The creation of the human being. In the time of Harun al-Rashid, one of his ministers, and Baghdad was a very, very beautiful city. Perhaps there is no city as beautiful as what Baghdad was in those days. I don't want to go in the history, but because we study our Islamic history. Many of us, we don't know our history, and we think that today the world has advanced very much, and there is great beauty. The beauty of Baghdad was great, very great. So anyway, one minister was making love to his wife on a summer's night with the full moon shining. And in the process of this love making, he told her, if you are not, she was very beautiful, but he said, if you are not more beautiful than the moon, then three talaqs on you. And the moon is a symbol of beauty, which poets of the East and the West, ancient poets and modern poets, use this moon as a symbol of beauty. She also thought, she was an alima, that where can I be as beautiful, and as 14th full moon, she went in parda, that talaq has fallen, that my husband has given me talaq. And there is a whole other subject on its own also. Today some talaq has become a joke amongst us, which is a very serious matter. And yeah, not for any argument or fight he gave talaq, in love making he gave talaq. Anyway, so he was very sorry and sorrowful about what he had done. Next morning he goes to Harun Rashid the king. He says, I made a great blunder, very stupid and foolish thing I did. My wife, I love her so much, but I gave her talaq in this way. He summoned the gathering of the ulama, that what is the masala, what is the ruling. All say three talaqs is finished, he's given talaq. But Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, or his student who was present, and Imam Sahab rahmatullah alayhi, and his manaqib, and what his position was, that's also a subject on its own. We can't go into that details either now. Anyway, he kept quiet, and that was his habit until he was specifically asked, then he will speak. Today we are not asked, and everyone from the peanut gallery, all comments come. It's a matter of the sighting of the moon, everyone is giving. And today with WhatsApp and all the groups, you just find the messages going this way and that way. How many times wrong messages come? Once, the message was few years ago, they said, took my name and they said, I saw the moon in Azadwal. I hardly knew, no idea about the moon. Today all, this is another terrible habit that is amongst us. This Ruh and the Quran and Qadeen says, first make sure if you quote somebody. Don't just quote somebody wrongly or out of context also. Make sure that you know what you are talking. Anyway, so we just giving our opinions about halal, haram, we giving our opinions about divorce, sighting of the moon, other masalas, everyone becomes a mufti with a cigarette in his hand, in his mouth, and reclining on the couch, and he's giving his fatwas. And on what is he basing it? I think it must be. As if deen is on your thinking. Deen is on the basis of Quran and Hadith, the most solid structures and the most solid foundations that can be found, Quran and Hadith. Deen is not on our thinking, but we use our thinking, and if it's not on this occasion, we discussing with the wife and we giving big fatwas, and we issuing and saying that I think it's like this, it must be like that. By me saying it must be like that or thinking, nothing happens. We have to find out the proper rulings of deen from the authorities of deen. Small matters of electricity, plumbing, carpentry, we get a carpenter. We don't say that we are big, that the experts in this field. We get a plumber, we get an electrician to do the job. But when it comes to deen, everyone becomes a big mufti. So when they asked him, he calmly said, no talaq has fallen. Everyone was surprised. Everyone knows also that talaq has fallen. And the whole galaxy of ulama, senior or great ulama, all say talaq has fallen. What is your reason? On what you base your view that talaq has not fallen? He says, Allah says in the Quran Sharif, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We have created insan in the most beautiful and best forms. So that means the Quran, insan is more beautiful than the moon also. Allah is declaring that insan is the most beautiful. If man, no matter how ugly you are, but you are the most handsome, and make shukr for the ni'mats of Allah. Woman, no matter how ugly you might be, but in the eyes of Allah, you are the best creation and this form of human being. So anyway, wa nafsin wa ma sawwaha, this human being, and how perfectly and balanced Allah has created us. Take outwardly, if our eyes, if one eye was like a small eye of a needle, and the other eye was big, like a crocodile eye, big eye, how should we look? If the one eye was a small pimple, and the other ear, one ear like a small pimple, and the other ear like the ear of an elephant, big fan, how should we look? If our lips were so big lips, how should we look? If our legs, one leg was 1 foot, 12 inches, and the other leg was 1 meter, and we were hopping and walking, how should we look? We don't acknowledge the qudrat. Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. For men of intelligence, they see the qudrat of Allah in the heavens and the earth, the changing of day and night. الَّذِينَ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, those who ponder in the creation of Allah. So, الَّذِينَ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. And with regard to yourself, Allah says, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Why don't you look in yourself to see Allah, the greatest proof of the existence of Allah and the great qudrat of Allah is not outside of you, insan, is you yourself. How Allah has created your eyes, how Allah has created your brains, how Allah has created your lungs and how they function, how Allah has created the heart. 24 hours the heart is on duty. Whether you are fast asleep and resting, the heart is working. If the heart is to stop working, you stop existing. Whether you running a marathon, are you doing some heavy work, the heart is doing its function. And there is great detail in how the heart functions. Hey, ask a cardiologist to explain to you the functioning of the heart, the functioning of the lungs. And then there are so many vital organs, the lungs, the pancreas, the kidneys, what and what things. In any small thing, your blood, if just the white cells are more than what they're supposed to be, you got a problem. If the red cells are more or less than what they're supposed to be, you got a problem. All these things, Allah Tabaraka. So this human being, Allah has made in balance. This is outwardly, and there is much more detail, there is very brief. Then as far as your akhlaq, your inside is concerned, your health, Allah made us balance. A healthy person, his sugar level he's balanced, he's a healthy person. But if the sugar level has gone too high, you are diabetic, you've got a lot of problems. If it's gone too low, you're going to faint, you've got problems. Your blood pressure has to be balanced. If it's gone too high, you'll get a stroke. You can get a heart attack. If it's gone too low, you'll faint. You won't be able to function. All the things, your cholesterol, all the inside. And then your akhlaq also, your character must be also balanced. Hey, not that when you become happy, you become over the limit. That you become so happy and you do all wrong things also in your happiness. Or that you become so sad and you go in a depression. No, it must be balanced. If you are rich, well, no problem, Allah made you rich. But don't let it go to your head and you start making zulam on people. You start using your money in wrong things. If you are poor, remain balanced in there also. Don't go now that you start getting thoughts that if Allah existed, why doesn't He give me my food? Why doesn't He give me a house to live in? And you start giving, so even inside, it must be balanced. So this wa nafsi wa ma sawwaha. And the whole, all these qasams Allah has taken, is that this nafs of ours must be balanced. And the main aspect which we want to discuss tonight of the balancing of the nafs, that our body is made of two major parts. The body, the physical body which we all know. And then the ruh, the soul. And the more important of the two is the soul. The body is only living. For example, a person eats, drinks, lives in his house as long as the soul is inside, the ruh is inside. Hey, the wife will feed him, cook food, the house will, all the matters will be done, cars will be seen to, the business will carry on as long as the ruh is inside. Hey, if a person becomes sick and is in hospital, CIU treatment, and they have put so many life supporting machines on him, ventilators on him, how many nurses are attending to him, how many doctors are attending, he's in a coma, but the ruh is inside, the doctor can't write a death certificate. And they will do everything what they can do for that person. But the minute the ruh goes out, immediately the machines are unplugged. Now the nurses are no more on duty on that person. Now his body is no more looked after. Straight away it's gone to the mortuary. It's nothing now. So the ruh, if we can understand, that is important. In our house we are working, we are doing everything, in our shops everything, as long as the ruh is inside. The minute the ruh goes out, finish this body now. Everyone's now, they working out. When will be janaza namaz time? Who's going to make janaza? At this time, where are we going to bury the person? Now, it's immediately to take him first to the qabristan. As when the ruh was here, he was going to open the shop. He was going to do everything. But the ruh is gone out. Now it's nothing. So the ruh is most important. And if we think, for this body of ours, the outward physical body, which is not the valuable thing, which is not the original and the asal, for this, how lot of effort is not made. For example, here in Lodium, in Swani, Pretoria, how many, if you go in the shopping center, you'll find all types of shops. And whatever shops, factories you'll find, offices, all of them are for this body, for the comfort of the body. Universities you'll find, hospitals you'll find, is for this body, for the treatment of this body. Everything, government offices, how many government departments, all for the body. What hospitals for the eyes, for the nose, for the heart, for everything, for the motor cars, what things, for our gardens, garden services, for lawn mowers, for all the trees that we plant, the nurseries, etc., all is for the enjoyment and for the sake of this body. For the food, all the grocery shops, all the supermarkets, for the clothes, all these things are only for the body. And the soul, which is more important, is there one shop that somebody can tell me, or one organization, here in Swani, that is for the ruh? The most that we have got, like, and don't mistake our maktabs and our darul ulooms, that they are for the ruh. They are also not for the ruh. Like you have universities, medical schools, where you become a doctor. But that medical, that school is not where you get your ilaj from. You have to go to the hospital. So the darul uloom is to produce the ulama. But for the ulama to give treatment, spiritual treatment, that hospital we haven't got. We got the place where we're producing the ulama, where we're producing the doctors, the spiritual doctors. But the place where they must practice, the hospitals, the clinics, that there isn't one khanqa. That is the place where alim, where who has now become proficient in the treatment of this ruh. There isn't one such hospital. There isn't one such chemist like that. There isn't anything like that. So in that case, the existence of the world is nothing but purely the clemency and the mercy of Allah. That Allah has written, the world will carry on for so long. Otherwise, we with our hands have brought total destruction for ourselves. For the ruh of this body, and which is the ruh of the world. As long as there is one person in the world, which comes clearly in the hadith, who will say, Allah, Allah, this is so valuable that all the system of the world will carry on. The winds will blow, the rains will fall, crops will grow, material will be made, food will be supplied, everything, as long as the name. So that is the existence of the world. Today we, in our short understanding, sometimes think that the West or the worldly people, that they have done so much for mankind. Sitting here, you pick up your phone, or even now, quietly, you're sending a message to Russia. Then it's gone there in a minute or two. You're sending a message to India. You're sending a message to America. You're receiving messages where man has reached and what progress. You sit in an aeroplane in a few hours from where to where you have gone. All this is just the barakat of Allah, Allah. Allah Ta'ala then, because of this, puts it in the mind to make all these things. The real essence of the existence of the world and the ruh of the existence of the world are not all these factories and farms and offices and shops, but it is the existence of the name of Allah. And the day when there will be nobody to take the name of Allah, and the day when Kaaba Sharif will be destroyed and there will be no deen left, then the whole party is over and Allah will bring Qiyamah. So if we can understand for our bodies also, the most important is the ruh which is inside. For the world, for the existence of the world, it isn't the material things, but it is the ruh of the world, and that is the deen of Allah Ta'ala. So for that, we have to make an effort. So Allah says, balance your nafs and your ruh also. And this is the great beauty of Islam in deen. Islam is not like Christianity, who went for ruhbaniyazm, ruhbaniyat. They went to the monasteries, and there they lived, and they said they are not going to get married. And the nuns don't get married, the monks don't get married, but the most children that are born in the monasteries. They don't get married, but the most children are born there. But in any case, so all this that is happening, it was ma katabna alayhim. Allah said, we didn't tell them to do this. It was something that was beyond your means. And in that realize, in our deen also, don't do things in excessiveness, ghulu, over the limit. That which Allah has not made faraz on you, don't go, you won't be able to sustain it. Do what Allah has told you, the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Follow in the way of life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't go to extremes in any way whatsoever. The insan is not able to sustain it, and you will bring destruction on yourself. The Christians brought destruction on themselves when in their good niyat, they wanted to be sincere. In their sense, we waiting for Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam. The nuns believe we'll marry Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam. We won't marry anyone else. In their niyat, according to them, they were doing something good, but they brought destruction. Stay within the limits of Sharia. Don't go out of the limits of Sharia, and you will bring destruction on yourself. So this balance is also absolutely necessary. With your body, don't involve yourself in so much in dunya, and nothing about deen, no time for namaz also, no time for tilawat, no time to worry about your akhirat, no time to worry about the iman and Islam of your fellow people, of other Muslim people, of the non-Muslims also. That is also, we are charged with that duty. The actual tabligh of Islam is to non-Muslims. For with Muslims, it is tazkir, to remind them of their duty. Hey, if you invited somebody to a wedding, you invited him. Now you don't invite him a second time. Yes, you remind him. Don't forget the wedding on that day. So Muslims are to be reminded with dhikr. فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And those who haven't accepted the message as yet, the non-Muslims, for them is tabligh. Inform them. And when they accept, then keep on reminding them, teach them, mold them according to Islam, bring them properly into the field and fold of Islam. So this ruh and this body has to be also balanced. Don't indulge yourself so much in dunya and nothing for the ruh. And also Islam has taught, don't indulge yourself so much with your ruh that you don't see to your body. Clearly Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَفْ. Those three sahaba who said that I'll divorce my wife and I'll just make ibadat. The other one said, I won't sleep at night, I will just make ibadat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade them. No, don't do that. Get married also, see to your wife and your children also, and see to the rights of Allah and His Rasul and Deen also. Balance it. Everything, this is the beauty of a person. Mufti Zainul Abideen sahab rahmatullah alayhi used to say that pul sirat will come in akhirat. But we are walking on pul sirat already in dunya. This balance is all the time. One side you got your mother, and one side you got your wife. And your balance between the two, don't incline so much to your mother and you leave your wife as a nothing. And don't do everything for your wife and you throw away your mother. No, balance in between. There is a difficult task. So even your dunya, see to your dunya also, see to your deen also. Balance yourself. Don't just go to a one extreme. We know it is a tight rope that you are walking. And on this tight rope, a little bit imbalance and you'll fall down. Hey, and pull sirat, how much you walk straight, yeah, so much you'll walk straight on pul sirat. And yeah, if we have to fall, and we fall from pul sirat, below pul sirat is the fire of Jahannam. So this is our akabir and our aslaf, fajazahumullah khair. Haulai abai faji'ni bimithlihim. What great people who taught us the balance of deen. And how beautifully they taught us. That, for example, one lady wrote once, I'm doing hibs, and because of my hibs, my qaza namazes I can't make. So I wrote to her, the balance is important. Hey, your hibs is not faras for you. Your qaza namazes are faras for you. So this proper understanding in everything which our akabir and our buzurgs have taught us. So this wa nafsi wa ma sawaha, the balance of the nafs. That see to your, and a person who lives this life, he won't have problems with dunya's people also, that he's lazy, ahdi hai, he's doing nothing, he's just sleeping all the time, not working. And he won't have a problem from deeni people also, that he's not making his namaz, he's just in dunya all the time. To see to your dunya also, the Quran has taught us hadith, and see to your deen also, balance the two things out. And of course, Allah keeps certain people who will be the leaders of a certain groups, their rulings are different. But for the general message, a complete balance in everything we should have. So, wa nafsiyum wa ma sawaha. And then Allah says, for this nafs also, we have put a big test on top of it. One is you must maintain the balance. As Allah balanced your eyes and Allah balanced your ears, your legs, Allah Ta'ala balanced your health, and till then you're a healthy person. If your sugar is too high, you have to take medicine to balance it again. Your blood pressure is too low, you'll have to take medicine to balance it again. Then your inside qualities also balance them. Your akhlaq balance them. Your anger, at the right place, you must show anger. And at the wrong place, there must be no anger. It must be everything balanced. You want to, anything you do, have it balanced also. And the biggest balance is between the nafs and between the ruh. Balance the two also. And of course, where there is preference, it's given to the ruh. That is for everlasting life of the akhirah. Then another test Allah Ta'ala has put in front of us. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Allah says, we put into the desire of man and into his system, we have put فَأَلْهَمَهَا. And first Allah means فُجُورَهَا. The evil also, the temptations and the desire to commit evil. وَتَقْوَاهَا. And Allah has put in you again the balance. There is fujur also, sinning also, which is your desire. And there is righteousness also. So maintain the balance also. What is the balance? That all your desires which you have, fujur, your sins, you don't commit the sins. But Allah has kept a halal and jais place to sort that out also. Naturally, every person has got a desire for a woman. If he hasn't, that is not a normal person. He is not a balanced person. And to sort it out, Allah gave you a halal wife. Get married and you sort yourself out. Every person has got a desire for food and delicious food also. There is so much of halal food. Use the halal. Don't go into haram food. Allah, your desire for pride also. So your pride you balance it also. Your pride is not you become arrogant and boastful, but that you are proud in the sense that you are a Muslim. You dress like a Muslim. You wear your topi. You are not shy. Not that you are proud. I'm a Muslim, but you are not. You don't shy away from it. You wear your beard also. Everything what Allah Ta'ala has given us. So all this haram desires that we have, and Allahu Akbar. This is the great kamal and perfection of our Buzurgani Deen, that they have taught that the correction and islah of a person is not izala, is imala. What does that mean? A person, for example, has got anger in him. So it isn't that you must remove the anger from the person. The sheikh, the spiritual doctor, is not to take out anger from that person. But he must make imala change its direction. Now that anger must be for when somebody breaks the laws of Allah Ta'ala. When you go in jihad and you are fighting the non-Muslims, that time show your anger. And with other people, then your anger, keep it subsided, keep it cool down. But where it's permissible, direct it in that way. You have got the disease of greed in you. Now this greed, it mustn't be taken out from a person. Now it must be directed in the right direction. Your greed was for material things. Your greed was for money, for worldly things. Now turn the direction for akhirat. In order to get more good qualities, I must be a better hafiz than others. I must be, my recitation of Quran Sharif must be better, have that greed. I must make more ibadat than others. So that is imala which is required. So this nafs that Allah has put, desires of guna also, and Allah Ta'ala has put the righteous qualities, desires for that also. So just bring the balance between the two, and you'll be a perfect person. You'll be a perfect husband. You'll be a perfect father. You'll be a perfect son. And if we don't bring this balance, then we are imbalanced. Then even the wife doesn't want to have us. Even as a children don't want to have their father also, and fight with the father. If children are imbalanced, the parents have got problems with them. All we have to do is get this balance. So, and another aspect here, which is also very important, is that Allah has put the desire of guna. And many people who are not aware of this, they think, I will never become a righteous person. I will never make the grade because I got lot of desires of guna. The desire of guna is not guna. Understand that properly. The desire of guna is not guna. Allah, the committing of guna is guna. If you don't have the desire of guna, there is no test for you. At one time, where I was previously in Germiston, one mutawalli, very good man, he must have been about 50 that time, and he said that till today, we were sitting in a group, in a gathering, I never got a traffic fine. Not for speeding, not for parking in the wrong place, indicators, seat belts, for nothing. I never got a traffic fine. Well, we were all surprised. 50 years and how many years of driving and no. So he said, I never drove a car. So if you never drove a car, how are you going to get a traffic fine? So if you haven't got desire of guna, how can you commit guna? If you go to the Qabristan and you tell the people, oh, what great muttaqis they are. They don't commit one guna. They can't commit a guna. And there's no achievement if they don't commit a guna. Achievement is of that person who can commit a guna and he does not, in the fear of Allah. And that is what makes you a wali of Allah. And so the more you have this desire of guna, And the more you abstain from it, the bigger wali you come. Many of us who think that I got too much of lust in me, too much of desire in me, all the time thoughts of woman, etc. And I will never make, you can become the greatest. The more desire you got for guna, the more greater wali of Allah, on condition you just don't commit the guna. So that is what Allah, so the desire of guna is there, and Allah has been so merciful. He didn't leave us like yatims and orphans in the world. Shaitan and nafs going to batter you and throw you one side. No, Allah Ta'ala has put the فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. And a malaika constantly tell a person, do good, get up for fajr, do good, don't look at haram. Allah has balanced the two also. And now for us it is to balance the two. And if you balance the two, one side you got your desires, and Allah has made halal way to satisfy your desires. No problem whatsoever. In fact, you can even, if it is feasible and all the conditions can be met, marry four women also. If you desire, fulfill your desires. You can eat halal as much as you want to. No problem. But don't touch any haram. Don't touch any doubtful thing. So that also Allah has allowed. So balance that also. So the nafs and the ruh, if we learn to balance it, a person will live a very, very level-headed life. And his life will pass through in a wonderful way. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. And a person who has done this, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. That person has got falah. All types of success, of deen, dunya and akhirat. Success of your, what we call success. What people think is success. All that type of success you will have. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. A person who made tazkiyah of his ruh. The person who made the effort to purify his ruh. His ruh and his nafs. That you have these desires, but you don't act upon them. And you, so this requires an effort. Otherwise, temptation is very great for any person. Whenever temptation comes, sometimes a person is taken in a ball of fire of temptation. And there is absolutely nothing that seems that can stop him. Ulama have written, our Shaykh, rahimahullah, has taught us that taqwa will take a person to great lengths if you develop the quality of taqwa, the fear of Allah. And this fear of Allah is the love of Allah, that you fear to displease Allah. Allah is so loving, so kind, so compassionate. How can I displease Allah? That is taqwa. Not that you fear Allah like you fear a dog, na'uzubillah, or how you fear a snake, na'uzubillah. Allah is not to be feared in that sense. Allah is to be loved in that sense. Allah gives love to you, and Allah wants love from you also. So if you realize the great qualities of Allah, you won't fear Allah. What you will fear, that I mustn't displease Allah. Allah mustn't, Allah who is so kind, who has done so many favors on me, continuously, like pouring rain, Allah's mercies are coming, and I must displease him. That is what you must fear. So this, so taqwa will take you to a certain level to stay away from sin. But sometimes nafs and shaitan attack a person in such a way that he just can't seem to keep away from the guna. As much as he wants to, he tries everything, but the desire and in effect is just about to get involved in guna. Then the thing that can save a person is the love of Allah. Hey? When that extreme love of Allah will be there, and that is what we have to develop. Then a person, no matter what temptations come, of big, big money, of woman, of stolen goods a person is selling to you, of whatever kaita or temptation, if you have developed taqwa, it will take you a long way. And if those very terrible attacks come, the love of Allah, that is the thing that will prevent you. So this Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. That person has reached complete success, who has made tazkiyah of his nafs. And he has gained control. He understands his nafs also. That is also very, very important, that a person must understand the temptations of nafs also. And he must know how to control his nafs. Like you got a horse, you train the horse. Now you know how to control the horse. No problem. You got a dog, a vicious dog. Hey? And that you have learned to control the dog. The dog won't harm you. It's going to serve you. Our nafs is worse than a horse. It's worse than a dog. And if we don't learn to control it, that how much harm that dog can do to you, our nafs will do much more greater harm. And if you learn to control how that dog will protect you, your nafs will also help you. So we have to learn. And this is a whole field of its own, which the Quran has thrown open. But we are hardly aware. Or if we are aware, we're not conscious of it, that I got nafs and nafs is my dushman. وَمَا أُبَرِّعُ نَفْسِ إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. Nafs is continuously, not amara bisu, amara bisu. It's giving me continuous big commands to do evil. And shaitan, وَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ, is your open enemy. There are two enemies that we are sitting with, but today one day has passed. As we are sitting now, these two enemies are there. Nafs is here. How many of us may be thinking, what SMS I got? And what must I reply to this SMS? That I hope this bayan get quickly finished, I have to go and see my porn. How many people, what evil they have got. I must go and see some comedy. I must go and see a film now. All these desires there of nafs, they are there all the time. So Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has told us that we must learn to control this nafs. Have it under control. And when Allah has said, Allah hasn't given us a single command which is beyond our capacity. We can control it. And if you control this nafs, and like that horse, what work won't it do? Your car, your BMW, top of the range, latest model, how, what speed it can go to. If it is under your control, no problem. You will be cruising wonderfully. But if it's out of your control, even at 20 kilometers per hour, 60 kilometers per hour, that car will kill you. And will kill other passengers of your car, will kill other people. So if this nafs is even more, if it is under control, it will do great work for you. And at the time of maut, in fact, there is a mukalama, a dialogue between the nafs and the ruh. If the nafs was good, you made it muhazzab, you trained it, you brought it under control, the ruh gives dua to it. You supported me, you helped me, may Allah be good to you also. And the nafs gives dua to the ruh also. And if you did not bring your nafs under control, you let it go like a wild beast, like a monster, and it does what it wants to, at the time of maut, the ruh gives baddua to the nafs. And nafs also gives baddua to the ruh also. They have a big fight between them. So this is an opportunity Allah has given us. And a person who brings his nafs under control, all the desires of the eyes to look at other women, to look at porn, etc., all the desires of your anger, your popularity you want, your name and fame you want all the time. People must praise you. At home, you can't accept no for an answer. And you say, no matter what happens, I don't accept no for an answer. And your pride, and you don't want to give in. And the wife also, if she also has got pride, there is fire burning in that house all the time. And if both of that got humility, the garden of Jannah exists in that house. They have great understanding and love. Otherwise, the husband wants to have the final word. And today with our king-size beds, we're having a fight. The husband is on the one corner of the bed and the wife is on the other corner. But they are fighting with one another. And they won't sleep and keep quiet. Everyone wants to have the last word. This is that pride. And if you have... Allahu Akbar. One time, Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, other Sahaba radiallahu anhu, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also present in a gathering, and one person came and bad mouthed Hazrat Abu Bakr radiya and telling him terrible things, worst things he's telling him. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is smiling and he's listening and smiling. When that person went so much over the limit, he was over the limit already, but he went way out of the limit, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said one word in his defense, in his own defense. At that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became upset. He got up and walked away from the majlis. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu ran after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "Oh Allah's Nabi," when he was bad-mouthing me, "and what terrible things. You were smiling, you weren't saying a thing. When I tried and defend myself, what one word, you became upset. You got up and you walked away." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Oh Abu Bakr, as long as you were quiet, Allah ta'ala had appointed a angel, a farishta on your behalf. And he was giving him answers all the time. But when you spoke, then that farishta withdrew. And shaitan came in his place." And in which gathering shaitan is, Allah's Nabi can't be in that gathering. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "If somebody has wronged you, and you make sabr, and you forgive that person, do you know you are in the right?" Now, how many times this occasion, this palaces of Jannah are offered to us, right? But we refuse them. We're having an argument, and this happens commonly in the house. The wife says something, misunderstanding or whatever. You also say, "If you just keep quiet for the pleasure of Allah, and you just allow it, that I don't want to fight, in that time I can..." Just now, Maulana Ahmed Dokrat, mashallah, after Asr was making bayan, Allah put in my heart, and I started timing, and I saw on my watch, in 1 minute, 10 times he was reading Durood Sharif. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu, 10 times. So in 20 minutes is 200 duruds. If we had some capacity in us, when we heard durood reading, we should also read durood. If we are 200 people and we read durood, we all got the sawab of that. And all that will be credited to the speaker, to Maulana also. That 200 people times 200, whatever the figure comes to, that so much durood sawab will go. So this is that how much we can accumulate. But we hear the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seldom do we read durood. And if we read, I'll just digress a little bit, we read it in the wrong place. For example, when adhan is given, "Ashhadu anna Muhammad al-Rasulullah," many of us there we read durood. Whereas there durood is not supposed to be read. Durood comes thumma sallu alayya. When adhan is complete, and the word thumma, a preposition, comes for tarakhi, for delayed action. Now read durood on me. And it comes clearly in the hadith, that reply to the adhan and say the same words what the muazzin says. And clearly it comes in the hadith besides the two, hayya ala salah and hayya ala falah. There you read, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So the muazzin is not saying, "Ashhadu anna Muhammad al-Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." He doesn't say it, so you also don't say it. You also say just how much the muazzin says. When adhan is complete, now read durood sharif. So with the times when we have to read, we don't read. And with the times when we have to, when we don't, so we're not supposed to read. How many people in the khutbah in Jummah, at that time, read durood in your heart? When the imam is making the khutbah, and he durood sharif, he reads in fact also, "Inna Allah wa malaikatahu." But that time the command of Allah Ta'ala, that you must keep quiet. That is like namaz. So don't read durood with your tongue. But many of us read durood loudly there. So learn to all the correct times also. So anyway, if you keep quiet at that time, Allah builds a palace for you in the heights of Jannah. And how many times this argument situation comes, sitting with friends, and with all petty things today to prove that which player should be picked for the cricket team. Eh? What we got to do, who is going to listen to our comments? Once in Zimbabwe, we came out of the masjid, and youngsters were standing, and what a debate they had about the selection of the players for the cricket team. Who's going to listen to them? Wasting our time in all the stupid and foolish things, and getting involved in that so much. And we saw in that time, how the durood sharif we could read. How many subhan, and what value that will have for us. In this dunya's life, how much it will benefit us. In akhirat, how much it will benefit us. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam added 3 more things on that occasion. He said that whenever a person has an argument, he knows he's on the right. But just to avoid all unnecessary indulgence and involvement in that, and your pressure going up, and after that for hours at night you can't sleep, you replaying the whole thing again, you just forget everything and you say, "You must be right. And I accept what you say. Allah builds a palace for you." Second thing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person who spends on other people, especially needy people, people who are in want, and especially in this, the greatest and the best source to spend is on the ulama. Allah has given us, many of us, lot of wealth. See how many ulama we can put on our payroll. Or just add 1,000 rand to the person, put it in his pocket. And then how much it will help him. There are so many widows. There are so many people in difficulty. We, our food that is on our table, we can't finish it. And there are so many people in the world who can't dream about such type of food. Even 1/10 of that food they can't get. Hey, and we, how much of our food is going in the dustbins? How much we can't manage our fruit to finish it? It's going off and we are throwing it away. And there are so many people in need. So very, very fortunate are those people who will spend on other people. And the best place to spend is on the ulama and students of deen. Because they are doing a great, great service of deen. And then Allah Ta'ala opens His hands on such people. And Allah gives them in abundance. And the third, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a person who stretches his hands and begs from people, whether openly he begs or in a sophisticated way, Allah will never close his need. He will be a beggar forever. So never ever start begging from anyone. No matter in which way, what tricky ways also you use and sophisticated ways, don't beg from anyone. Otherwise you will remain a beggar forever. And a beggar is always looked down with scorn. It's not honored, it's not respected. So always try and spend on others rather than begging. So also another very important point with this about forgiving people. The Quran Sharif has made two aspects here. One is you are allowed to take revenge. If somebody has done wrong to you, Quran Sharif has allowed a tooth for a tooth or an eye for an eye. But don't go over the limit. So that is one aspect. And then the Quran Sharif at the same time is said to forgive is more better. Your reward will be much more greater. So one aspect of this is which we don't appreciate our Quran. But the non-Muslims have picked up the principles of the Quran. For example, in their law books, first time offender will be given so much fine or so much punishment. Second time offender so much. Third time offender so much. So Quran teaches a person is a first time offender, forgive him. But when he makes a habit now, then take him to task. And that is also you doing a favor on that person. There are so many who treat their wives so bad. How they swear them, chase them out of the house. And what they say to them. When this person is a continuous offender and he has abused his wife, and by law he can be locked up, get that person locked up. They take that revenge that you are doing a favor, that he gets saved, otherwise he's going to carry on his own whole life. There are so many people who do fraud and rob other people, and continuously they are doing. For such a person, don't just forgive him. Take him to task so that he can stop with his bad habit. But a person who made a mistake, he just happened to fall into it, and he sincerely, he feels that I shouldn't have done this, and he's asking for maaf. Then make the person maaf. So the balance there also is so great. So anyway, Allah says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Yeah, the height of the surah comes that your nafs, and you have to train your nafs, bring it under control. And if you do it, you are going to get every success. And if you don't, every type of destruction is for you. So much so that a person who didn't bring iman in his life, and he can be doing a lot of charity work, a lot of good work to the poor people. He's very good to his family also. And he's very sober. He doesn't drink. He doesn't take drug. But he hasn't got iman. He's zero in the akhirat. And a person who brought iman, but he didn't make his islah to the extent of bringing ikhlas in his life. He's making namaz 5 times. He's making all his tahajjud and ishraq and chasht and awwabin. But there isn't sincerity for one Allah. And all his ibadat will be zero. And 0 + 0 = 0. And 10 zeros + ... = 0. Zero. But you got one. You're doing it for one Allah. And one. And now put a 0. 10. Another 0. 100. Another 0. 1000. Now it's only value all the time. So make our islah. And then, wallah, even our eating will become great ibadat of Allah. Our going to toilet according to sunnat will become great ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. If we just bring, we make that islah. Otherwise, we're eating without any intention. And a person who eats, who does all these things without his intention, is like a lifeless body. Like a baby if it's born, dead born. still born. No life in that. Now you prepare. No happiness is in the house. You're preparing to make janazah and go and bury the child. If our amal haven't got ikhlas, they are dead amal. There is nothing to be happy about. Those amal will, not only that they won't be sawab, we can be taken to task and go to Jahannam for that. So this ikhlas, how important. This islah, how important. And it's just not going to happen. And remember also, you can't just become yourself, make your own islah. You need somebody to make your islah. You want to become a hafiz of Quran, you can read Quran Sharif. But nobody becomes hafiz on his own. He has to go to the ustad, the same sabak which he learns on his own. But he has to umbrawadu. If quickly, soon, he becomes a hafiz. A young girl to make a roti, and she sees her mother making every day, and then she starts also with that wailan, and she also starts making. She does it on her own. She makes the shape of that roti. Geometry won't have a name for that shape also. It won't be a hexagon, it won't be a pentagon, there won't be no name for that also. And then again, that little girl, her hands are dirty also, and that roti is black, white atta. But that roti is gone black, and she puts it on the tawa. The mother allows her. On the one side it will be burnt, one side it will be raw. But she learns from her mother. And she takes perhaps a few little spankings also from her mother, from her auntie, her big sister. Very soon she'll make such a wonderful roti, hot, hot ghee roti. And you put nice sugar on it and you roll it before you can't wait for the supper. And you are eating that hot ghee roti with the sugar, and how you enjoy. This is all when that little training is done. You are traveling on the road, you get a puncture. And you didn't train yourself, you didn't learn how to change a wheel. Now you are a very bright man, very lot of knowledge you got, and very clever man. You take a 4-pound hammer, and you take a chisel, and you knock off the balls from the wheel. Somehow you got the balls out, and you damaged everything. You get 10 people, you pay them all 20 rand, lift up the car for me, I want to change my wheel. What problem you'll have, you won't be able. But if you trained yourself, you can be an old man, an old lady also. And in our time, especially with technology, with little bit, you plug your in the cigarette lighter, and you can loosen your balls with it. You plug your cigarette lighter there, and you can, the jack will lift the car. And slowly, slowly, comfortably, you'll be able to change the wheel, and you'll be back on. But if you trained yourself, and to train yourself, another big deception that comes, I can do it myself. You can't do it. You need a trainer. You need a teacher. In everything, you need an ustad. You need a teacher. Simple things. You need somebody. Otherwise, you have to do yourself. You're doing some electrical work or plumbing work, and you read in the book the instructions, a male socket and a female socket. And you don't know what you think, which female socket and which male socket is being spoken about here. If you have somebody who teach you, they'll teach you what is the male socket here and what is the female socket. Otherwise, with our dirty minds, what we were, you're doing carpentry or you're doing plumbing work, you're doing electrical work, and where your mind will go to. You need somebody to teach you. Then at the end of this beautiful surah, Allah gives one example of the people of Thamud who did not make their islah, and they went to this extent. Remember, if your islah is not made, you will commit the worst gunas. Drugs, womanizing, gambling will be a picnic. Worse than that gunas you will commit. The people of Thamud, they asked for a miracle that a she pregnant camel must come out of this rock. Allah presented. They saw it with their eyes, and then they went to the extent of killing that ayatullah, naqatullah. To that great extent, you will defy the laws of Allah openly. Drugs, humanizing, gambling will be a picnic. It will be anything if you don't make your islah. And if you make your islah, every success is for you. So for that, this is the islahi jalsa. And to make us conscious that do everything. Your husband doesn't mean now you're going to make your islah. You're going khanka, you divorce your wife. No, you'll carry on with that also. You shopkeeper, you will carry on. You in tabligh work, you carry on with your tabligh work, but make your islah. Now the things will become more valuable. You are teaching in a Darul Uloom, you don't have to stop teaching. Carry on teaching, but make your islah. And now see, what every sabak of yours, you won't be only teaching sarf and nahwa, but you will be making islah of your students. You will be teaching them the muhabbat of Allah. And we have seen this with our eyes. Those ustads who have done this, they are teaching the sarf and nahwa, they're teaching tafsir and hadith, but the taste of it is completely different. One was they were teaching it without salt and sugar in the tea, and now they are teaching it with salt in the food and with sugar in the tea, and now see the enjoyment. You yourself also, you have made your islah. Now go and read a hadith. That hadith, you'll say, I never saw this hadith before. Now the meaning of it is coming out so greatly in every aspect of what your wife you will talk, what your workers you will talk, your attitude will be completely different with Islam. Therefore, Islam is absolutely necessary. Yeah, mashallah, every Wednesday night, there is majlis here in the masjid. Dr. Sulaiman and Maulana Ahmed have majlis, attend these majalis. And for the ladies, Maulana Ahmed has on a Thursday morning, Monday morning, 3/4 hour before Zohar, he has a program. And then in Azadville, the programs carry on. And many other places, towns, mashallah, they are program. Let us align ourselves. And whichever buzurg and Allah wala, our heart says there is Allah wala, align yourself with him. Follow his teachings and carry on with whatever you are doing. You are in Jamaat, carry on with all your work. Your 2 gusht, your 3 days, nothing, no difference was coming there. But just make your islah and add the dimension of the love of Allah. You are drinking a cup of tea, no sugar. Hey, you just tip it, sip little, you put it down. Bring the sugar first. Once the sugar is, you want second cup of tea also. Hey, now you enjoy it so much, you want second cup of tea also. So just make, put the sugar of the love of Allah and make your islah. As long as you are dirty, your body is dirty, for some reason 1 week you didn't bath. 2 weeks you are stinking, and nobody wants to come near you also. Even your wife doesn't want to come near you. Now you go and take a bath, now you see, it's completely different. You are now, what great enjoyment. You put on clean clothes, you bath. So making our tazkiyah is purifying our soul. And then you will see what enjoyment. And wallah, today that the wife tells her husband, you get out of the house. Husband tells the wife, you get out, because we are dirty. That's why they don't. You become clean and they will embrace you so tight, like you feel you've gone in the other person. And when you kiss the person, what enjoyment. But when you are clean. So this is what is tazkiyah. For that, alhamdulillah, in Azadville also we have programs on a Tuesday night. Monthly majalis we have. Ramzan is coming, and alhamdulillah, many brothers from around the world also come, and intensive programs. And the reports that we get, and you can make out some people are superficial, you can see the superficialness in it, and but some people you can see how genuine, and really how their lives have changed, and how they have benefited. And you can see that till today, in this times of so much of iniquity and so much of sin and evil that is around us, but even in these times, and the tarteeb of sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when this islah is made, how people are benefiting. So all of us make niyat, inshallah, to try and make our islah, align ourselves with any buzurg our heart takes to, that we feel this is a man of Allah and he will guide us to Allah. Make your ta'alluq with such a person, carry on with all your work also, and do this work also. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Anything else, Mala Ahmed? Dr. Suleiman? Read Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma aati nufusana taqwaha. Wazakkiha fa anta khayru man zakkaha. Anta waliyuha wa mawlaaha. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك. اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي ولا تشقنا بمعصيتك. أو الله grant us your معرفة, your recognition, O Allah. O Allah, and grant us our taqwa of the body, O Allah. Let us refrain from your disobedience, and let us refrain from displeasing you, O Allah. O Allah, we do not commit a sin if a little child of 2 years is around. But you so great, and we know you are watching, and you are present, and in front of you we commit sin. Grant us this realization, that we stay away from every sin and from everything of your displeasure. O Allah, grant us that zikr which will purify our hearts, O Allah. Grant us that love of Allah wa'ala, your love and the love of amal, O Allah, so that we become closer to you. And O Allah, that we recognize you. O Allah, bless us with your pure, wonderful, beautiful thoughts all the time. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا يَا مَوْلَانَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And also, man lam yashkuri nas lam yashkuri Allah, who is not thankful to mankind cannot be thankful to Allah. We say jazakallah to the Lodium brothers, particularly Maulana Ahmed Dokra, Dr. Suleiman, and all the others who provided today's supper, and all how beautiful you hosted us, made us feel welcome, not only welcome as though we are at home, and kept us so comfortable, and all for the sake of deen and for the pleasure of Allah. In ajruku, in your reward is Allah. Allah will reward you for this. May Allah be pleased with you and give barakah in every aspect of all your lives.